Tomorrow is primary day in Michigan, where there are local elections all over the state. In Flint, voters will choose among 24 candidates to fill largely powerless city council seats. Flint, of course, has been under control of an emergency manager since December of 2011. But while Flint city council members wield little power now, that may soon change. Flint is taking steps to come out from under state oversight, and that could happen late next year. So the Flint City Council members elected from the field of Tuesday's candidates may eventually have actual power to shape their city. Voters are also casting primary ballots in parts of Lansing, Jackson, Grand Rapids, and Ann Arbor. In all, voters in more than 50 Michigan counties will cast ballots. But much of the focus tomorrow will be on Detroit, where the political stakes have never been higher because of the city's bankruptcy filing. There'll be primary votes for city council members, and more than a dozen candidates are vying to become the next mayor of the city. The top two vote-getters will face off in the November general election. So let's get a preview of tomorrow's Detroit primary as we say hello again to Detroit Free Press editorial writer Nancy Kaffer. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, thanks for having me on today.
Good to have you back. Let us start with the race for mayor. We have got to review this campaign because, honestly, you couldn't script this stuff, could you?
It has been very roller coastery,
to say the least. So
yeah.
I see that after reviewing the Sunday papers, Mike Duggan, former CEO of the Detroit Medical Center, former Wayne County prosecutor, the right-hand man of the late Wayne County executive Ed McNamara, both your paper and the Detroit News gave him your endorsements. Remind us how he became a write-in candidate.
Well, he had moved to Detroit in 2012, with though he was sort of coy about it at the time. It was obviously to set the stage for a mayoral run. And he then did announce a run, filed nominating petitions 2 weeks in advance of the Detroit City Charter's requirement that you must have been a resident for a year at the time of filing petitions for office. Duggan, apparently, like a lot of other people, had read the charter language to refer to the filing deadline, which was a standard that he had met, but he filed his petitions early, which meant that he had not actually been a Detroit resident for a year at the time he filed his petitions, and was ineligible to appear on the ballot as a fellow a competing candidate had alleged in a lawsuit, and two courts upheld that opinion.
And that is a kind of embarrassing gaffe, isn't it?
It is. It is. So, you know, he's certainly far from the only one who had that read of the language. I think that even when you talk to charter commissioners who were involved in drafting that provision, some of them all thought, well, of course we meant filing deadline. And then others said, no, that's not what we meant at all. So it's one of those things where if you see it, you see it. If you didn't see it, you thought everything was fine.
So he becomes a write-in candidate, and then we pivot over to the other write-in candidate, the barber from Detroit, who has never voted before, Mike Duggeon. Now, he told us he pronounces his name Duggan, but there isn't even an agreement on how he pronounces his name, is there?
There doesn't seem to be a lot of clarity about what's going on with that candidacy. We here in our office pronounce it probably incorrectly just to differentiate when we're speaking. We call them Duggan and Duggan just so that we know who we're talking about.
And we've heard Duggeon and Duggeon and...
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. So, I mean, I always like to respect how people want to pronounce their names, but we have to, just for ease, we're doing it a little differently here.
Well, what have you been able to, or have you been able to find out exactly how the other Mike came to be on the ballot?
Well, he's said that he's not connected with a Facebook page that has been popped up supporting his candidacy. He had said that people had talked to him about it, and he apparently in an interview with a television reporter accompanied him to apparently file his papers of declaration of intent to run as a write-in candidate. So the whole thing is murky, I think, is a good word.
And the question now becomes, how likely do you think the other Mike will play the role of spoiler?
You know, I really can't see him playing a huge role. I mean, there's going to be some contested misspellings. But, I mean, it's you know, the polling that has been coming out has indicated that there's a substantial number of people who are planning to write in Mike Duggan. And the last poll that came out last week, I'm sure you saw, it said something like close to 40% planned to write in Mike Duggan. And so even if half of those people were to misspell his name or spell it poorly or conflictedly, he's still getting a pretty sizable chunk of the vote there.
And it could be a while before we actually get the results, right? Because they are going to real. We hear from Janice Renfrey that they are going to be looking very carefully at those write-in votes.
Correct. We will not know on the only thing we will know on Tuesday night is what percentage of the vote write-in candidates achieve. So what they do is they count the ballots, and it counts all of the regular votes, and then they'll simply come to the determination that there are or are not enough write-in votes to merit checking them individually by name.
Okay.
Because you fill in, a voter fills in a bubble and also writes in the name. So they'll simply say, write-in votes comprise this percentage of ballots cast, and therefore it's worth our time to check and see who these votes were cast for. Because if there weren't even enough write-in, for a write-in candidate to advance to the general election, they have to be one of the top two vote-getters.
We're speaking with Detroit Free Press editorial writer Nancy Caffer, kind of getting a preview of Detroit's primary election. Let's get back to Mike Duggan, who has been waging that aggressive write-in campaign. Nancy, why did the Free Press endorse him over Wayne County Sheriff Benny Napoleon?
Well, we wrote in our endorsement that we had been really looking for someone who would be the obvious candidate, the one who we could just jump up and down and say, this is obviously the person, the man or woman who should be leading Detroit. And we did not find that person. We did not find someone who we could, with no reservation, say should have this job. But Duggan and Napoleon became the front runners very early. And when we compared their track records, it seemed that Mike Duggan had the history of turnaround and the managerial and administrative skills that we thought were really what the city needs.
Now let's go to City Council, whose image certainly has taken quite a few hits over the years. The bizarre disappearance of former City Council President Charles Pugh, just one of the image problems. Nancy, what will you be watching for in tomorrow's primary in terms of City Council?
Well, this is the first time in almost 100 years that Detroit is electing council by district system rather than 9 at-large seats. This time there's 7 district seats and 2 at-large seats. So this whole point was to try to get people who wouldn't normally run or didn't feel that they could compete with big-name incumbents into the race, and I think we've seen a good bit of that. And also to get people who just couldn't have necessarily risen to the level of fundraising. It's just going to be really interesting to see how this turns out and to see who gets a seat on council when, it would have been a totally different concept 4 years ago. We've had a lot of this current council has not always voted the way we wish they had, but there have been a nexus of some very smart, proactive people who are trying to make things happen. The makeup of council is going to change no matter what, just because we only have 4 incumbents on the ballot at all. But we hope for another group that is at least open to progressive reform change moving forward.
Well, that leads me to ask you this. It seems for a long time, we've been talking about previous administrations being a part of the decline of Detroit with corrupt politicians or inadequate leaders and scandals and mismanagement of money. So here's the question. Is there something in this crop of candidates that leads you to think that they could have the right stuff to lead Detroit in a turnaround once Kevin Orr is gone? It'll be on their shoulders.
Well, they're all people who made the decision to run understanding this framework, understanding that they were running with an emergency manager in place, that they, certainly all of them must have realized that bankruptcy was an option. So they're folks who looked at this situation and thought they had something to offer. And whether they win or lose, I think that's fantastic. And all of them, anyone who makes this kind of effort is someone who, deserves our praise for trying. So, but I'm hopeful that, folks who looked at this situation and said, I can help, are folks who are
have right. The right stuff.
Yeah.
And for someone who is not living within Detroit city boundaries, we asked this question many times over the year of stateside. Can you help us understand for those folks why it should matter? We pay attention here because you and I know these people will be in charge when Kevin Orr wraps up his time in the fall of next year. But how do you get non-Detroiters to appreciate the significance of this election?
Detroit is the central city of the state, whether you like it or not. When you tell people you're from Michigan, you're not from here, then the only city they know is Detroit. Detroit's bond ratings, Detroit's health, all depend on the type of business that your community can attract, the type of the rate and cost of your city's ability to borrow money to do important projects. And so if those practical concerns don't move people, the idea that, that this is the city that people identify with Michigan, and that you, you know, when you go out into the world, if you want people to associate you with, you know, you need to be concerned that Detroit is a place that, I mean, if Detroit doesn't do well, that doesn't speak well for any of us in Michigan.
Detroit Free Press editorial writer Nancy Caffer with a preview of tomorrow's primary election in Detroit. Thanks so much, Nancy.
Thank you, Cindy.